Hey, thanks for joining me for another episode of Innovate. Last time we were together, we shared the Beyond Success material, giving you an opportunity to walk through it and be checking with your emails because we are sending you a video link so you can go through the material. But last time, we discussed the subject of attitude. And before I move on, I want to just share real quick something that happened last time. One of our participants there at Innovate took the material, took the resources, and he happens to work for the fire department. He went down and did training for all of their leaders on this concept of attitude, really taking all 7 points and just using them once a week to pour into his team. Can I tell you, that's the greatest compliment that could ever be given for the Innovate process, is that as you hear the material, you learn the material, you go and you impart it, teach it, instruct it to others. For me, that's just a huge compliment. So thank you for doing that, and feel free to do the same. As I began to get ready today, I think about children and how much they astound me, really, as I watch my own grandchildren as they're growing up. And to a child, they're just so inquisitive. The world is wide open and mysterious to them. And they're asking these continuous why questions. In other words, why can't they have another cookie? Why can't they stay up after 9 p.m.? Why do they have to share their toys? Why can't they stay at Gigi's house? It's just have all these why questions. And it seems as we get older, we lose that childlike curiosity, or it begins to diminish. And what I've learned is as we're going through leadership growth and going on a leadership journey, I've tried to keep my mind open to growth by continuing to probe new questions of why. Having that curiosity concerning new ideas and new contacts. And so I recently reread a book that had been given years ago. Actually, I gave it away, and this person gave it back to me and said, hey, I think you gave it to me years ago, and it would be good if you reread it. And in the book, it shares a leadership iceberg principle. In other words, it says this. It says that when you consider an iceberg, 90% of that iceberg is below the waterline and 10% is above the waterline. That which is above the waterline, when it pertains to the leadership iceberg, is skill. But the 90% below the waterline, in other words, what people cannot see, is character. And it's character that upholds the skill. And so when we talk about character, I'm thinking about work ethic. I'm thinking about putting others first, motives, how we see other people. And that's really expecting the best out of others and ourselves. A positive attitude, perseverance, you know, owning responsibility. I've heard it said that in owning responsibility, when it's bad, you own it. When it's good, give it away. And so how to grow as a leader? You know, whenever you begin to look at this, how do we grow the iceberg? How do we grow the portion that's below the waterline? How do we grow the portion above the waterline? And so as we look at that, because our subject today is growing as a leader in personal growth, how do you really do that? First of all, you have to know that growing as a leader is a choice. You have to choose to grow above and below the waterline. It's not going to happen arbitrarily. It's not even going to happen because you want it to. You have to have a choice that allows you to start growing, that you make a decision that, you know what, I'm going to grow. Now, I truly believe this. I think you can get faster and greater growth in character. than you can in skill. Skill takes a lot longer time. Character, you can make a choice to begin to change that today. And then as you choose to grow, you have to understand that then you have to embrace the fact that change allows us to keep growing. So if I choose to grow, I have to be willing to change, because change allows me to continue to grow. And then the climate that I'm in allows me to enjoy growing. And so when I talk about a climate that allows you to enjoy growing, the reality is you need to be in relationships with growing people. You know, I've said this before and I'll say it again. Show me your five closest friends and I'll show you your future. Because you'll begin to reflect their attitude. You'll begin to reflect their mindset. Matter of fact, you'll probably make on average the money your five closest friends make. And so as you want to grow, you want to be in a climate that allows you to grow, to enjoy growing and expanding on that. And so for me, that's just huge. And I hope that it'll be big for you as well. So there's some questions that I ask myself, and these are not unique to me. I've heard them in various forms and fashions from other people. And so I want to just begin to look at it and encourage you to write down these questions. Begin to ask yourself some questions about the question and say, is this relevant to me, and how can I grow in this area? Number one is, am I investing in myself? And it's a personal growth question that we're lifelong learners. I think they have a common set of characteristics. In other words, they're willing to invest in themselves. They'll invest time. They'll invest resources. They'll leave their comfort zone. They'll apply the knowledge that they have. But are you willing to invest in yourself? And I would just encourage you to look around your life and ask yourself, how much money, how much time, how much energy, how much effort, how many relationships am I utilizing to truly invest in myself? Two, am I genuinely interested in others? See, this is a motive question. Leaders see before others see, and they see more than others see. And so what you have to know is, am I genuinely interested in other people? Recently, I was in a room with one of our staff pastors, and a guy came up, and because he knew our staff pastor, he just began to dig in and give him his spiel and his pitch. And a couple of times a staff pastor tried to interrupt him and introduce him to me, because the guy didn't know who I was. And to be honest, he didn't even act like he was interested, which was fine. And he just continued and pushed and pushed. And I just stood there like a tree or an ornament in the room. And then finally, this staff pastor looked at me and said, "Hey, let me introduce you to our lead pastor." Well, once he figured out that I was a lead guy, all of a sudden he shifts, and now he wants to be all attentive to me, which really was a turnoff. But also, he was actually talking originally with the right person that could help him. But it made me think he wasn't interested in me. He wasn't even really interested in my staff pastor. He was interested in what he thought my staff pastor or myself could do for him. I mean, you know what it's like. You've been in a room with a bunch of people. You're sitting there talking to someone, but yet their eyes are scouring the room to see, you know, who's more important, who's next, who do I need to get to? And they're not even paying attention to you. Can I just tell you, don't ever do that. Let me encourage you. Be genuinely interested in people. Number three, am I doing what I love and loving what I do? This is a passion question. Am I doing what I love and loving what I do? Man, if you're going to grow, if you're going to develop, you can't 100% all the time do what you love. But I promise you, 60% of the time you can. You need to get to the place where 50 to 60% of the time, what I'm doing is what I love, and I love what I'm doing. I think that's just huge, because I'm going to tell you, 40%, even 30% is life. It's things that have to get done, that we have to do. But the reality is, man, if we can find our strength zone and really flow in there, it's really good. Number four, am I investing my time in the right relationships? It's a relationship question. You know, am I choosing friends that are committed to personal growth, a healthy attitude, high potential? Man, you got to be selective about who you join with on the leadership journey, and you got to connect with them. And then number five, am I staying in my strength zone? This is an effectiveness question. You know, I know at times we've got to do other things, but man, if you have an opportunity to delegate things that are not in your strength zone, man, delegate them. You don't have to be a jack of all trades and the master of nothing. You got to find your strength zone, discover what it is, and begin to flourish in that area and spend the majority of your time there. Number six, am I taking others to a higher level? Am I taking others to a higher level? Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said this, life's most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? You've heard it said, it's lonely at the top. I tell you, if it's lonely at the top, it's because you did it wrong. You are to be taking other people with you. So are you taking people with you on this journey, on this process? Number seven, am I taking care of today? This is a success question, because success is determined by your daily agenda. I once asked a couple years ago, I had the opportunity to play golf with Dr. John C. Maxwell, and I asked, what's the most important book, or do you find the most valuable book that you've written, and what would it be? And he said, Today Matters. And he said, the reason is because today truly does matter. What you do today will determine your success for tomorrow. And so if you've not read that book or gotten that book, I would highly, highly, highly encourage you to go on Amazon or go to John's website and get the book, Today Matters. Promise you, it is a phenomenal book. And if you want to be successful, it starts today, not tomorrow. Number eight is, am I taking time to think? You know, we live in a production culture. We live in a blue, white collar, blue, gray collar culture. And in that, when you ask people, hey, how's your week been? Man, it's been busy. How are things going? Woo, working hard. And sometimes we don't value the time set aside to think. And I think a minute of thought is greater than an hour of talk. Let me say it again. A minute of thought is greater than an hour of talk. Taking time to think allows you to live life on purpose. And so I would encourage you to, on your calendar during the week, schedule thinking time. Then if you need to go talk it out and process it with somebody else, or however you process, that's great. But schedule time to think. I schedule it daily. You may not be able to do that. If you can't, that's fine. Schedule it weekly, where you are taking time to think. And on a few podcasts back, I shared, do you ever think about what you think about? And there's some good stuff in that that will help you to really maximize thinking time so that it is thinking about what you're thinking about instead of just daydreaming. So you can go back and refer to some of those past podcasts. And then 9 is, am I developing leaders? This is a legacy question. The ultimate test for a leader is not whether he or she makes smart decisions and takes decisive action, but whether he or she teaches others to be leaders and build an organization that can sustain its success. The reality is that we've got to begin to develop other people around us. That you don't want to just develop followers, you want to develop leaders, people that can step up and lead the way and go the way and grow the way. I think that's just important. And then 10 for me is, am I pleasing God? This is an eternity question. Am I pleasing God? One of my favorite movies is the movie Gladiator. And then in the movie, Maximus asks this question or makes this statement. He says, what we do in life echoes in eternity. See, you have to live your life honorably and with a clean conscience before God and other people. And it's answering the question, what you're doing in this life will echo through eternity. So I want to encourage you to make it matter. As I wrap up this time today, I want to share real fast a public service announcement that my wife received. My wife and son recently have gone to Iceland on a trip, on a vacation, a getaway birthday trip for my son. And before leaving, my wife received this public service announcement from Iceland concerning the icebergs. And the announcement was a warning not to climb on top of the icebergs because they may not have enough ice under the water to sustain you on top of the water. And many have died to get a picture at the top of an iceberg that didn't have the bottom capacity under the waterline to sustain them on top. I want to encourage you as you walk through and ask these 10 questions. See, we can't let our leadership become all skill and no character. If we do that, when people climb in your business and they climb on your influence and when they climb on your skill set, they may drown because of the lack of character below the waterline. You've got to make sure that that which is below the waterline can sustain those that are willing to climb on top of the iceberg of your leadership, of your direction, of your instruction, of your growth, of your company. And so I want to encourage you today, make sure that which no one sees is stronger than what others around you do see. Man, I hope you enjoy this time of Innovate. Go back, listen to this message, this presentation, maybe once or twice. And love to get some comments, and you can look forward to seeing you in the near future at one of our opportunities here in person or through this podcast. Talk to you soon. Let's grow together. Bye-bye.